The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
It's a December morning here on Beat 102-103. We are hurtling towards Christmas time. That is Billie Eilish and Birds of a Feather. And you might have heard during the week that Selena Gomez has announced she's engaged to her music producer boyfriend and now fiancé, Benny Blanco. Selena showed off her absolutely huge oval cut diamond engagement ring afterwards and said on her social media that forever begins now. And that got me thinking about engagements at Christmas time. I'm sure Selena is not the only person getting engaged right now. In fact, I'm sure your social media is probably filled with people saying the same things. And a little velvet box might be waiting under the Christmas tree this year, but what shape will that ring be? And what are people doing for engagements these days? Well, I decided to get all the scoop from Christina Kiley. She's a diamond specialist and jewellery designer at Ryan Thomas Jewellers in County Tipperary. And they had big celebrations yesterday. They celebrated 45 years in Clonmel in County Tipperary. So Christina has taken some time out from the party to talk to us this morning. You're very welcome, Christina.
Hi, Orla. Lovely talking to you.
Lovely to talk to you as well. And congratulations, 45 years of Ryan Thomas Jewellers.
Yes, Orla, that is correct. Tommy and Geraldine have this amazing business that it is in Clonmel for the last 45 years. So it's a huge, huge milestone. And we were gifting our customers some flowers, champagne and vouchers for local businesses as well.
Wow, that was all yesterday you did that.
We did indeed, Orla. And just to say a huge thank you to our customers, because without them, there would be no us. We are eternally grateful for continuous support. And it is lovely to see people coming back to us time and time again, and even generations of families, you know, that's been through the doors. Yeah. So we are just so grateful. And we marked it yesterday. It was a great day.
Lovely. And you know what? I see that a lot with jewellers around the southeast and where I'm from in North County Wexford.
Yes.
You kind of have the jewellers that you like to go to, don't you, to get all those special pieces at Christmas time and for birthdays and things like that.
Absolutely. And you do get to know your customer base as well, you know, so where we would have customers actually looking for us for guidance. And, you know, for example, a partner might come in and look up for a present for his wife, and he might ask us, you know, well, do you remember what we bought for her last year? And we would kind of give a little hint and say, yes, well, you did buy her pearl earrings last year, so, you know, maybe a bracelet this year. But I suppose what I mean is that the trust is established, and we're here to guide and help and support, and no gift is too small or too big.
Okay, brilliant. Well, maybe you could guide and support some people who might be deciding to get down on one knee this Christmas time. And do you see, as a diamond specialist, an upsurge of people getting engaged around this time of year?
Yes, definitely, Orla. That is something that every year we see people would plan, maybe not necessarily on a Christmas morning, but around that time, you know, okay, in between Christmas and New Year's, to pop the question. And yes, there is a lot of planning involved in that. We have couples that coming together, you know, and perhaps they plan a head away over Christmas and propose and get engaged there. Or a lot of us, mostly popular though, we would have a guys coming in on their own.
Okay.
And they put a ring on deposit and they have their homework done, and we're here to guide and help as well. And then yes, they purchase it for just before Christmas, and then it's either, you know, anything goes from Christmas morning to in between Christmas, okay, to New Year's Eve, you know. And sometimes some even do just to throw them off, you know, they might do it on a 3rd of January, you know,
yes,
on a random
exactly.
day like that. But definitely it's a big milestone in people's lives, Christmas, and it does bring it to focus, and they, yes, definitely a big surge.
So you've seen people come in and just buy that ring assuming that they know the style of their fiancé ring preferences. They're that brave.
They are, all, especially nowadays, because there is, thanks to Instagram and all influencers, there is you know, there's huge trends around, and today it's still the oval cut diamond is the most popular. So a lot of the time the guys wouldn't have an idea of what their partner likes, you know, and he or she, you know, they observe them, and mostly what jewelry they wear, you know, is it silver, is it yellow gold, and that always helps. And also because they can come back, you know, and we can either exchange a ring or size it or even redesign it. So we're here with them every step of the way, you know, yeah. And just that surprise element is lovely, you know, especially like I said, when you're at least expect it.
I know, but imagine you're, you know, like an oval cut is beautiful. Selena Gomez's ring is so beautiful and quite understated, like it's a massive oval cut diamond. But, you know, sometimes you see superstars with their rings and it's diamonds everywhere wrapped around the arms yes. of the ring and everything. Whereas this is more subtle. But that doesn't necessarily mean that an oval cut will suit everyone. I know it definitely doesn't suit me. So, you know, that's one thing we have to think about, isn't it? What suits your finger?
So yes, it doesn't suit every finger. And actually, while we're touching on that, Selena Gomez's engagement ring is actually a marquee cut.
Oh.
So again, it's kind of, yes, indeed. And it has a kind of little diamond set pavé band as well at the sides.
So, what's a marquee cut? Because I saw in the papers everyone calling it an oval cut. And it has quite an oval shape to it. So tell us what that marquee cut is.
It does indeed, because it does have the curved size like an oval cut would. But the oval cut has all the sides are curved, you know, and it's elongated shape, whereas the marquee cut, the tops are pointed. Does that make sense? So
yes.
You still have your curved size, but it's pointed
yes.
at the top and
it's
at the
bottom.
Beautiful,
isn't it?
Yes, so it's quite elegant cut and it's quite royal-like, so to speak, and quite an old cut, you know, and it wouldn't be as popular as an oval cut, I'll be honest,
okay.
you know, but at the same time, it suits Selena very well. So what I was saying, Ola, really, is that, yes, we would try and guide the customer, you know, while choosing. It's not always an oval cut necessarily, you know. It would depend on what generally their tastes are like and
okay.
do they like a more dressy jewelry or are they more understated, you know. Like you said, each hand, you know, they have preferences and things that suit them better, and this is where it's handy that they can actually exchange it if it doesn't suit.
Okay, great. And tell me, and it's all about trends, isn't it? Because I know like
indeed.
Silver was so in a while ago, but it seems gold is more in for the ring itself these days. Am I right in thinking that? And I know
you're
said
absolutely
it,
right.
Yeah, and it's not just about what people like. I think people will always maybe go for trends a bit more when it comes to something like the engagement ring.
They would indeed. And what we always encourage people to be kind of individual and open-minded as well. You know, like the trends do come and go a little bit as well, you know. So we always say, you know, pick a nice ring that maybe is trendy and fashionable, but at the same time that it won't date, you know, in a few years to come. And like you said, the yellow gold is very popular, but we do notice why gold and silver is making a little comeback as well. So things change all the time.
Yeah.
And the most important thing is to be true to yourself, you know, on what you love and just do your own thing.
And do you have some very like out there rings at Ryan Thomas, like, you know, that mightn't be that popular, but are there for people who like to think a bit differently, perhaps?
Absolutely, we do. And we make our own rings as well. We design our own rings. So we have something a bit for everybody, you know, and you can actually see a huge selection on our website and Instagram. You know, we do bespoke pieces. So we try and cater for everybody, you know, for those that maybe are a little bit more traditional or maybe a little bit less brave, you know, to those that really are, they know what their style is and they just want to do their own thing and be individual to it. So yes, there's something for everybody, you know, and the most important thing is, as I said, if you are considering a Christmas proposal, just listen to your partner and observe them. You know, there's always little hints in how they dress or their style of jewelry. First of all, do they actually wear any? You know, because if they don't, perhaps something a little bit understated might be more suitable for them than something maybe more elaborate that the jewelry lover would love, you know. So
yeah,
little things like that.
Good advice. Are people still doing the whole 1 month salary kind of idea for ring buying?
Anything goes, Orla, but yeah, yes and no. You know, like the average, you could be looking anywhere from 2,000 to, you know, to whatever you
like
want to spend.
How much would Selena's
exactly.
ring be, Christina, would you think, looking at it?
Oh my God, I would. I would probably be wrong, but I'd say, yeah, it wouldn't be your average you spend.
Like, are we talking
way,
20
know?
Or 30 grand kind of price?
I'd say plus. Plus,
wow.
Yes.
Wow.
That would be my guess now. But yes. But and it is a beautiful ring. And like I said, you know, wouldn't be surprised, Orla, if we'll be starting selling more marquee cut diamonds in the
yes.
new year.
So marquee cut is what it's called. Marquee cut. Okay. And then
exactly.
oval is another popular one, as you said, a very popular one. And then what other
yes.
kind of cuts are there?
Round brilliant cut, so that would be the most traditional
okay.
cut, or just a circular. Then another popular one, Orla, is an emerald cut. It's a step cut, so it has less facets in it, so it's maybe it's not as flashy, maybe is not the correct word, but okay. It's less brilliant. But some people like that. And this is where you can afford to go for a larger stone because it won't look too much, if that makes sense. It's more understated. And that all that is down to the facets and how many of them is there in a diamond. So the emerald cut diamond would have less of them than, say, around brilliant cut.
Oh, I see it here. It's kind of narrower. It's kind of a narrow rectangle. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. That is exactly it, Orla. Yes. And it is less brilliant, less sparkly. But some people like that, you know. Mm. And then there's another one that actually is making a comeback as well, would be known as princess cut, which is just a square diamond. Okay. And again, quite a popular one, and or cushion shape, which is very similar princess cut, but more brilliant, more facets again.
I see it. And it does look like a cushion, how you'd expect a cushion, almost with peaks at the top, you know, isn't that what it's kind of like?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly it, Orla. That's a good description.
What's your favorite, Christina?
My dream cut would be an emerald cut, I'll be honest. Yes. Yeah. Yes, but they have to be exceptional quality because their top facet, which is the table of them, Orla, is like a mirror. You can see everything in. There's nothing to hide. So they have to be exceptional clarity and good quality. Hence, it's a dream cut for me at the moment.
It's gorgeous. And I see a lot of rings here, kind of the Art Deco look when it comes to that kind of emerald cut. You can get other cuts beside it. So beautiful.
And what about you, Orla? What cut do
you think
you'd
like? I don't know what the cuts are still, but I don't understand them as well as you do. But I like a ring that has a few stones in it. You know, that kind of a look.
So like a cluster kind of.
Yeah, a cluster. Exactly. Cluster cut.
Very nice.
That's what I love.
Yes, that's again, that's a very traditional setting, you know, in a good way. It means that it's always in fashion. You know, it never dates, and again, it suits a lot of hands.
Oh, Christina, do you have people coming in saying they don't like their ring anymore after a few years or anything?
We do indeed.
Oh, no.
And this is, well, that can happen, Orla. The circumstances can change as well, and styles change. So what you can do then in that case, you can perhaps redesign your ring or just change it up a little bit. So still keeping the essence of your ring and your stone, your gemstones and your gold. So the sentiment is there, you know, but we could just maybe just make it a bit more modern or suitable to you that it is now that whatever it is that you want, you know. So,
and say divorced people or who have a ring that they want to change, can you take the diamonds out and make it into something else, for example?
We do the whole time. We specialize in it, Orla. So you can make a pendant, you can make a couple of rings maybe for your children, or we do anything, everything really, Orla. You know, we try and work with you. And it's a very popular thing. We are great believers in repurposing jewelry, you know, and also maintaining that sentiment of the piece, but at the same time, making it a little bit more modern and more suited to you. So for instance, if you inherited maybe a brooch of diamonds from your grandmother and you're not really going to wear the brooch, you know, maybe we could make a little pendant for you or a pair of earrings or a ring, you know, things like that. So we do it the whole time and we take pictures of the piece, what it was like before, then we design it, and then a goldsmith takes pictures as well. And so you have a lovely book as well at the end of it.
Oh, fab. It's
with the finished piece. Yeah, so it's a popular thing, Orla, in that people like repurposing pieces, you know,
yeah,
and
I
mean
idea.
So much them sentimentally, you know, more so than monetary value, but both really, you know.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, lovely advice there. And if you head on to Ryan Thomas Jewelers Instagram, you'll see a lot of those different cuts on there and lots of other ideas for gifts as well. If you're still in the area where you need to go look for gifts this week, Ryan Thomas Jeweler, of course, on in Clonmel. What street are you on in Clonmel there, Christina?
So Glastone Street, 56 Glastone Street.
56 Glastone Street. You can't miss them. And Ryan Thomas Jewelers on Instagram if you want to check out some of those cuts that Christina was talking about this morning. I'm sure we can't all afford Selena Gomez's massive oval cut ring, but if anyone is thinking of getting engaged this week, this month even, there's lots of suggestions on there. Christina, thanks so much for joining me, and happy Christmas.
Thank you, Orla, and happy Christmas to everyone.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
There you go, that's Gracie Abrams. That's so true. It's Beat 102-103. We are hurtling towards Christmas time and the big day itself on December 25th. So have you had your Christmas party yet? And no, I'm not going to ask you how it went and what embarrassing things did you do or were you on your best behaviour. What we're really going to talk about is the fact that a lot more companies and businesses are having their Christmas party in January. I don't really know how I feel about that, but January is the new Christmas for the workplace party. Events agency Davis Events recorded a whopping 30% increase in bookings, and it seems a New Year kickoff event is replacing the traditional knees up. Paul Davis from Davis Events Agency is here with more details. Your baby, I presume, Davis Events, Paul Davis?
Yeah, Orla, look, lovely to talk to you and thanks a million for having us on today. It is, yeah. And so, I mean, we found like Christmas, obviously, a very exciting time of year for everybody and for businesses. And for a lot of places are very busy, though, work-wise, you know, employees and staff, if they're in the hospitality trade or hotels and that kind of stuff. So traditionally, those kinds of sectors would have had a get together after Christmas. But what we're finding is a lot of the bigger parties now for companies have become more intimate affairs maybe before Christmas, or that they might just give people a small budget or hampers or whatever to take home and then have a larger kind of get together after Christmas to welcome in the new year. And when people calm down, like January can be a bit of a blue, gloomy month.
Yeah.
And people are coming back into the office. You know, it's something to look forward to. And big companies have found, I think, that they get more out of it, especially with people working from home. People really want to get together. And there's a lot going on anyway in the run-up to Christmas. Mm. So to get an impact out of it, I think people have started to look at January, February as a kickoff period.
February.
Like quarter one kickoff. Yeah.
That far ahead. Now, I'd be really annoyed
not necessarily
if February.
Still, okay. It's not necessarily still a Christmas party, I suppose. It's like a holiday kickoff and celebration of the year gone by. And then plan for the coming year. And some people are doing a little bit of a business event or a meeting or a conference beforehand and then having a big celebration.
Oh, I'd be so annoyed. A business event. So. Paul, what did you do at Paul Davis Events Agency? Have you had your Christmas party?
We did. We had a great time on Tuesday night of this week. Yeah, we managed to get a bit of time aside for ourselves. And we went to a restaurant and we went out afterwards. We played a few games of pool. And we'd actually done a bit of a get together during the day as well. We went to an escape room and had some games and had a bit of crack and that kind of stuff, you know. So we're a small team.
You really have to do what you do for your customers as well. So it wasn't just a case of let's go to a restaurant and see how we go. You had to plan it out for your staff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got high expectations. Yeah. But it's also a bit of a postman's holiday, but it was a lot of fun, you know. And it's really important, even in a small company like us, for everybody to get together and have a nice time together and bond and that kind of stuff. And just, you know, let the hair down and forget about work for a while. Especially with people working remotely and working from home and everything. It's a really important thing for companies to do for their staff.
And you're organising Christmas events for people. Like the big companies will come to you and ask you to organise some events for the Christmas party. What sort of thing are they looking for?
Yeah, so companies now that have like more than a few hundred people, I guess, would come to agencies like us. So we help large technology and pharmaceutical companies and other companies with organizing and putting together large Christmas events. So in one case, we took 400 people to Marbella for a Christmas party for a company. They'd done very well that year. This was last year. And so they decided to really, you know, have a massive blowout. And to celebrate and to reward everybody, they brought them away on a mini little break.
Wow.
And had a great time.
So what did you have to organize for that? What was your job when it came to getting them to Marbella? Did you have to organize restaurants and events
So flights, hotels, transport, and then restaurants on the ground. They stayed 3 days. So we had some activities during the daytimes and people could go tourists and trails and shopping. And then we had a big, huge event for them on an evening in a big pool bar resort in Marbella. And then some other excursions and some little sort of private events as well. So it was kind of a packed, jam-packed few days full of
And did you get to go, Paul, or were you just up at home?
I did go. No,
you went
as well? Go. Yeah, you have to go to these things. You have to help out, you know. Always working.
I think in another life, this would be my perfect job, organising events and doing all that. I think I'd get such a buzz from it. It sounds like you do as well.
It's great. I know it's great, yeah. But it is really important, though, for companies to put the investment into their employees, because that's where it comes back to the January, February thing. I mean, it's not necessarily really, I suppose, it's not necessarily just a Christmas party at that stage. It's an engagement to try and get employees, you know, to stick with the company as well. Because January and Christmas, people think about other jobs. And nowadays with full employment, companies are trying to get their staff to stay and to enjoy the workplace and to enjoy with their colleagues, the time with their colleagues, and to, you know, improve company culture.
Yeah.
So having something in quarter one, I think, kind of lifts that sort of blues feeling of like, oh, we're still here, and gives them a look at what the plans are for the year and, you know, how they can get rewarded during the year and that kind of thing. And also have an enjoyable time.
And like you said, like, I don't work from home at all because of the sort of job I'm in. But I really see from people who do, that kind of collaboration and feeling of a little mini family seems to be gone for a lot of people.
Yes, it does. Yeah. And it's very, very difficult to replicate that. If you're not, like, people love working from home, they love the flexibility. But the other side of that is, if you're not going into a collegiate sort of workplace, you do miss, you know, that bonding and that culture of the workplace, that can start to, and that's what companies are finding, that they have to replicate that by having more events and more activities between the staff, where you can sort of rebuild that culture and the bond between employees.
So what would you suggest to people if they're having their parties in January? What is kind of the good package? Because like we said earlier, I think a lot of companies just do the restaurant and maybe stay in the restaurant, almost like a wedding. Yeah. The seats are pushed back and you get to stay there. But you seem to be a fan of maybe going to the escape rooms or going to some other sort of almost competition-based get together.
Yeah, I think it's really fun if you can take people out of their normal environment. And, you know, people get to go, like, people have higher expectations now, and their experiences, they've experienced a lot of really good stuff in Ireland and overseas. So, you know, good food and beverage and that kind of stuff. So I think you've got to give them something different and maybe go out of the city or town where your company is based, you know, whether it's, you know, regional or in a city environment. I think to take people out and to go somewhere and do some kind of an activity during the day or early evening, and then have a social event after that, I think it makes a huge difference, because people can get together and chat and hang out together and really break the ice and relax. And then they have a really, really good time at a social event after that, whether that's a party or a meal or a dinner. It depends on the size of the team. But it is important to spend a bit more time together, aside from just sitting around while you're drinking and eating and stuff, you know. People really want to do other activities as well nowadays.
And it gets people moving as well. So you're not just sitting at the same seat with one person all along, or your clique your team.
Yeah, you get to know other people in the company. And, like, you've got to remember as well, if you're working at home, they might only have contact with one or two or three other people in the business. Mm-hmm. So it's really important for companies to make the effort to get people to know each other and meet each other at these kinds of events. And then they can have great fun as well. Mm.
And you're saying as well that, like, some places will give staff like hampers before Christmas and then do the big event afterwards.
Yeah, so some companies now are doing a small, more intimate affair. And I suppose, look, people's expectations are much higher now. Everybody's been away. Everybody's been to fancy restaurants and really high-class weddings and stuff. So, you know, a kind of a rubber turkey and ham dinner isn't really going to cut it anymore for people on paper plates or whatever. So, you know, then they have a lower sort of, you know, like, level of standards in what they feel about their work and the company and stuff. So, you know, what companies are doing now, some companies are giving each department a budget to have a smaller, more intimate affair themselves, or giving people hampers and giving them nice family gifts to take home and do something bigger after Christmas. And it's also more cost effective for smaller companies. You can get much better deals and much better value for money in quarter one. And that's why companies can afford to take the team away or do something more interesting. Okay. You know?
All right. Well, some food for thought for, I presume, 2026 for people at this stage, because I'm sure the Christmas party has been organized. But if people want to check out your Instagram, even, Paul, and what you do at your agency, Davis Events Agency, it is, if you just search for Davis Event Agency. And you're also on the internet, of course, at davisevents.com. I'll be calling to you now for my new job as an event manager. I think I'd be so good at it, Paul. I'd have a real iron rod of organisation.
Okay, excellent. Look forward to that, Orla.
Thanks a million. It's so lovely to talk to you. Happy Christmas. And
you too. Happy Christmas.
Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah, happy Christmas to you and all your listeners, Orla. And thanks a million for your time today.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Across the southeast, it is Beat 102-103. We have a very special guest in studio with us this morning. Very special.
That is Christmas music.
Yeah, that is, of course, Niall Power from Beat Breakfast.
Hello. Well, not Niall Power from Beat Breakfast.
Oh, sorry.
I have a plaque on my door.
What does it say?
It says Head of Station Sound.
I've never read that plaque in my life.
Yeah, they make a big deal of it on The Breakfast Show. Director of Music, Head of Station Sound. That's why I'm here today.
Niall Power. And listen, the reason he's here is because Ireland's most popular Christmas songs have been revealed, and you might be a bit surprised, or you may not be.
It's controversial because everyone has their own kind of passion, you know. And there's also songs which I can accept are brilliant Christmas songs, but I'm a little bit bored of them.
The number one is the one I'm most bored by.
Really?
Yes, we'll talk about that in a moment. It's research from Spotify Streams examined the top 200 hits in Ireland for 4 weeks in December, and they really were thorough about this. In 2021, 22 and 23, then they totaled the stream counts to produce an overall ranking. So this is fairly definitive when it comes to what people are listening to in December. Will we go through them now?
Okay, let's start. Number 10.
In Africa this Christmas time.
Now, of course, we have had so many versions of this song, and the latest Band Aid 40 out this year, where they had a big push on. There was controversy about it and the lyrics nowadays, and Ed Sheeran didn't want to be in it and all that.
Why didn't Ed want to be in it?
We don't have the time on the Sunday Grid to go through it all, but Fuse ODG, one of the artists who featured on it, there's a feeling now that Africa does not need pity, it needs... your support, it needs help, okay. You know, and not to just kind of feel sorry for it, and that's what this song was all about.
Okay.
So that was the controversy. Ed agreed with that. He said if he'd been asked, he would have asked not to be on the song, okay. But they put him on anyway.
Well, this is Band Aid's 1984.
I was going to say this new version is not doing well because when people want to stream it, they want to hear
the
original.
Yeah,
you know, the original vocals, and that's what this is. I still like hearing it at Christmas. You?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I don't hear it that much anymore. It is 40 this year and BBC did a big documentary on it. I'm surprised I don't hear it as much as I do. Don't think I go looking for it in Spotify, to tell you the truth. It doesn't have, apart from those weird belly things that are on in the background right now, it doesn't have a very
Christmassy
feel for me. Yeah, okay. It's just the time it was released, really.
Okay, number 9 then. I'm disappointed this isn't higher because this is a personal favourite of mine. It always makes me happy, Shakin'.
Shakin' Stevens, Merry Christmas, everyone. Now, myself and Niall are in a WhatsApp group with some of our friends, and you only recently said that the Nows, now that's what I call music, 1, 2, 3 and 4, are all on Spotify now. And when I think of Shakin' Stevens, I think of the
that
Nows.
That era.
Yeah, that sort of era.
Interesting fact, and this will come up a couple of times. Shakin' Stevens was meant to release this song, and it was ready to go at Christmas 1984.
Okay.
But then Band Aid was dropping, and he said, I'm not doing it.
No way, Jose.
He held it off a year, and he got Christmas number one the following year.
Whereas Wham
were in the same boat, but they released and got number two. So.
Oh, okay. And that's what we're going to talk about next.
Okay,
yeah?
Number
Wham.
8.
Yeah.
Again, I'm surprised this is as low as it is because this was the official Christmas number one last year in the UK. People still love it.
I love this. When I hear this first, I know it's Christmas time.
There was a documentary on last night on BBC Two all about this song. I saw they're doing the rounds, Pepsi, Charlie and Andrew Ridgely. They were on the One Show earlier in the week. They went back out to Switzerland where they filmed the video.
Oh.
I was very sad without George and all that.
Yeah.
And they kind of recreated some of it. But it's just timeless.
Yeah, it really is.
You could release that now and it would still sound relevant.
Totally. And obviously, Pepsi, Shirley, all of them still quite relevant. Shirley being Roman Kemp's mother, of course. So, you know,
I wouldn't be surprised if that is the official Christmas number one again this year.
Well, okay.
Right, 7.
Here we go.
You made a face.
No, I didn't. I'm just thinking a little bit more current, and I don't know how I feel about current when it comes to my Christmas listening. Now, I like this. It does have all the bells and whistles that I would expect from a Christmas song.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say it's that current because I think it's 10 years old this year, so it's kind of getting into the gold category.
Yeah,
I like it. I like it, you know.
It's fine. Yeah.
It's a fair effort. Number 6.
Well done, Ariana. Oh, Niall.
Do you like this?
Oh, I love it.
With the kids jingle belling. Andy Williams, of course, is the most wonderful time of the year. I kind of associate it now with like ad campaigns for Spa or something
rather than
a song you'd actually kind of. But it does. It's the kind of song you put it on Christmas morning when you're cooking and everyone feels good.
Oh, totally, totally. Now, next one is Michael himself doing his version of this. Like Christmas. That is Michael Bublé, of course. Originally sung by who, Niall? Can we remember? Was it Bing Crosby or something?
I think it was
like that?
Bing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, again, it's a Christmas staple, but it's grand.
Yeah, it is grand.
4.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Yeah, happy.
Jingle bell swing.
And jingle
Bobby Helms was the original artist.
I wouldn't have known the name of
the
artist.
Recent version by the Vamps as well.
Yes.
And again, I just associate that with the Home Alone movie when he's doing the kind of aftershave thing, you know?
Yeah, a movie I've never seen.
You've never seen Home Alone?
Ever. Ever.
Orla.
I know. We'll have to talk about that another
time. Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
Like, would you not do it for your daughter this
year? Yeah, maybe.
She'll love it.
I'll have to attempt it.
Okay, number 3.
Beautiful. And not the Ronan Keating version.
No.
This is the Pogues, of course.
1987. Charted every year since. It's kind of an Irish national anthem, really.
It's a staple. It's a staple. Mm. It really works. And we can all sing to it or roar to it, whatever way we want to call it.
Yeah, I've heard you roar to it. Okay, the big two then, the ultimate Christmas songs according to data. Number 2.
Oh, really?
Have a Christmas.
I didn't know the words to that there.
Yeah, I like it. Again, it wouldn't be Christmas without it.
I didn't know the name again of the singer, Brenda Lee.
Brenda Lee, yeah. She has celebrated her 84th birthday this week.
Okay, yeah, I like it. It's grand. Will we go on to number one?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a shock to anybody.
It won't. And I would just like to say before we start this, when I hear this, I think, oh no! Go for it, Niall. A lot for Christmas. I'm so over it.
You're still singing it. You still put your hands in the air and wave there.
Yes, but this survey is about you get into the car or you go into your house and you ask Spotify to play something for you, and I will never, ever ask Spotify to play.
She's been very
Mariah.
Clever, though, in kind of building herself as the Queen of Christmas and the video dropping at midnight on the 1st of November every year. She's done the rounds this year. She's doing shows with Rylan and radio shows. She's doing turned up on the Late Late Toy Show. She's working it hard. Well, was it AI or was it Mariah? Nobody knows. It wouldn't be Christmas without this.
No. And also, Niall, this has nearly 7 million streams. Now, I know it's for 3 years of Decembers, but that's in Ireland alone. Like, how much money do you get per stream in Spotify?
Well, not a lot, but they all add up.
But multiply that by 7 million. This woman is coining it in.
She doesn't need to do anything
from
else.
From November 15th onwards. So fair play to Mariah in that way. But yeah, that's the top 10.
That's the official top 10 according to the data of the songs you're listening to. Now, what I did want to do is, because obviously at Beat we play a lot of current music as well, is just give you a little flavour of the acts nowadays who are trying their hand.
And it's a hard one, isn't it?
Absolutely.
The classics are there. And I love that Coldplay Christmas song that we play here on Beat. But at the same time, it's hard to beat a classic versus that, isn't it?
Yeah, because people always veer towards the classic of Christmas. So these are all songs that were released either last Christmas or this Christmas. So we'll start with this, and it's Cher. No, you have not heard this. Yeah, so she released it last Christmas, and then Kelly Clarkson did an amazing cover of it.
Okay.
And now there's a new version this year with both of them on it.
Okay.
It's very sure. It's not very Christmassy.
No, the only thing Christmassy about it is the word Christmas.
Yeah, I like it though. Right, next up, Mimi Webb from last year. It's called Back Home for Christmas. And this, as I said, was released last Christmas.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's cute. Mimi Webb's been doing really well the last couple of years. Somebody else has been well. She's gone out on her own. Perry of Little Mix year has released.
It's going to have a Mariah vibe, I would say.
Kind of. I like it. It's called Christmas Magic. And as I said, it's a release this year.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
I love a Shooey Dooby.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I really like that.
Throw in a Shooey Dooby and you got
me.
Yeah. Next up, an Irish track from Leah Hart from Kildare. This is Everybody's Home for Christmas, and this was released 2 years ago this Christmas. Have a listen. Oh, she's still going. Sorry, Perry, work
on,
away.
Perry.
This is another Shooby-Doo. Milk it, Jerry. Leah Hart, everybody.
Oh, I like that.
Sleigh bells.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can see myself with the cowbell. Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah.
Love that.
And finally, out this year, Tom Grennan's having a crack. It's called It Can't Be Christmas.
Oh, is it a cover?
I don't know, actually.
It feels
actually.
Like a cover.
Yeah. It's very much in the kind of Bon Jovi, Please Come Home for Christmas vibe.
Yeah, that's exactly why I thought it was a cover, because of that John Bon Jovi song.
So that's what you're up against nowadays. They're all having a go at it. I don't think anyone's going to have the durability of a Mariah or a Pogues.
Well, definitely not Cher. No. That's like she went to the studio and just said, put Christmas in there somewhere.
She's 82 or something. Give her a break. All right?
And of course, we have to mention our favourite Christmas song.
Zig and Zag, Christmas number one.
Yeah, we won't do the rap this morning for you, but someday you might be lucky enough to hear it from us again. But if you ever see myself and Niall out and we're shouting at each other, Tyler! You know it comes from Zig and Zag's Christmas number one. Look it up.
Happy Christmas, Orla.
Happy Christmas, Nylers.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
It's the Sunday Grill. It's Beat 102 and 103. That's Brian Griffin over there moving his...
It's just fallen on me. Hello.
Oh, hello.
How you doing?
What was way are you sitting?
I sit like this all the time.
All right, I never notice. I obviously never look up.
Look, you just ignore me as a person.
That's it. How's it going?
Good, Jan, yourself?
Yeah, really good. Have you been doing anything interesting in your life this week? Because I haven't seen you in a while, I feel.
Probably a week, I'd say.
Yeah, you were out and about asking people about what their favourite Christmas present would be if they could give anyone anything or if they could receive anything. Yes.
Well, that was too fair, like filming like 2 weeks ago.
Okay. But, so when it went live, you weren't fully in the Christmas mood at that stage.
You see, I didn't edit it. So then like we filmed it and then we did like normally we do these things last minute.
Oh, okay.
But we actually did this one on time and then I wasn't editing it. So then it was uploaded and people were like, oh, why did they say that? And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Completely forgotten.
Yeah.
Because when people come up to me and they're like, oh yeah, oh, I saw the video. It's like, I did like five.
You did a very good walking and talking little piece to camera.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, well done, Brian.
Yeah, that was only second attempt as well.
Good presenter. Yeah. Well done.
Oh, thank you very much.
Will we talk movies?
Sure.
Okay, so AI and Megan Fox are combined in this Netflix movie called Subservience.
Yeah.
This could be someone's dream. I don't know if it's Brian's dream. A little bit of AI, a little bit of Megan.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like her?
Well, I'll immediately just knock this off the thing and this is... Do you remember how this... Black Mirror used to be fantastic.
Yeah, and then it got a bit off the wall.
And then it got a bit kind of like repetitive.
Mm.
And then there was just a load of movies that could have been episodes of Black Mirror.
Yes.
This is another one.
Okay, because I got excited for this when I watched the trailer, and we'll hear some of the trailer here. And then I went on to IMDb to get some names, and it was like 50%. On Rotten Tomatoes.
Rocking at 5.3 on IMDb, to be fair. Yeah.
Not too great. Will we have a listen?
Sure.
I'd like to tell you the other people. Michelle Moran, Melinda, Madeline Zima, Matilda Firth. Do we know any of these people?
No, I don't.
No, okay.
And you look how real they are.
Our brand new series. The most sophisticated AI on the planet.
Daddy, can we get her, please?
Think about your family. About Maggie. I'm sorry. This is the world now.
Oh, what have you done to my heart?
Should I prepare dinner?
Not the same as Mom.
You smile and my heart goes
on. Suffering is not productive, Nick. I can help you.
It seems
Alice, I have a wife.
If your medication, it would be quite easy to lose consciousness and slip under the water. Imagine how upset Nick would be if you die.
I'm considering just fading this out because, yeah, let's do it. That is Subservience with Megan Fox and other people.
When you started saying the names, I was like, oh, crap, do I not know these people? And you do, and you start naming them out. And it's like, I looked them up there and I don't recognise any of them from anything.
Yeah, and can I just say about this and why I faded that? It's because it really is trying to push this eerie point of AI. This thing that a lot of movies and movies that aren't particularly well thought out are doing is the whole AI is going to take over the world and, you know, take over everything and robots are going to take our jobs, etc. And yeah, it's the new shtick when it comes to movies, I think. And I don't know if I'm here for it.
There was that one with the doll and it was like the doll's
friend. Quite liked that.
Megan, that's what it was. Yeah.
Ironic. M3 Gan.
Yes, and there's going to be a second one of those coming out. I actually quite enjoyed that one.
Yeah, you see, I can't do horrors, but what I saw of it, like this, I quite liked.
See, I think the problem with the AI movies is that they're all about how AI is bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
And I'm actually kind of a fan of AI.
I'm quite a fan of AI.
So I'm like, why can't there be a movie? Well, there is. There was actually a movie came out. I'm dead wrong now. There was a movie that came out last year, that was about how they, oh my God, I can't remember who did it, but it was like this really well-made movie and no one went to see it. I think it's also on Netflix.
It wasn't the Jennifer Lopez Atlas one.
No. There's been a ton of them. No, yeah. Like most of them are AIs being bad. And then it's like the odd one where AI is their friend, like their ally. But it's always to do like war and it's always violence. It's never like there's an AI and it's kind of just this like fella.
Yeah.
And it's kind of useless. And it's like if AI was pushed to the limit of being human and there's this an AI that can't do anything.
Exactly. Or like a chick flick movie where someone's trying to write a text to flirt with someone else and puts into AI,
yeah,
write this in a better way so that I sound both smart and incredibly sexy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I would just, those messages come out of me naturally anyway, so that's fine. No, I don't know. It's a weird thing because it's always made out to be like AI is the devil. I feel like that's just kind of the trend. There's always kind of a trend in movies,
yeah,
every year.
That's what annoys me. There is always a trend in movies, but it's always the ones that book the trend that do quite well. And it doesn't sound as if subservience is going to.
Yeah. Look, it's the premise is, now it kind of confused me at the start. So it starts off with this woman getting a heart attack. And then it cuts, yeah, to this guy walking through this market where there's a lot of AI people. And my thinking was, oh, the wife has died.
Yeah.
He needs a mother replacement. Yeah. I was like, how is the relationship between person and AI? How does that happen? Do you know? And then
are there other AI Megan Foxes walking around?
No, so AI Megan Fox is the only one, which, okay, I'm surprised it isn't a more like popular model,
mm,
because she looks good in it.
I'd say she does.
She does. Mm. Thumbs up for me. But he's there and then he gets this Megan Fox and then it's like she starts helping around the house. I was like, okay, so it's going to be like their relationship. And then he goes into the hospital and the wife is there waiting on a heart transplant. Mm. I was like, okay.
That was quite a nice little twist for you though, wasn't it?
It was kind of a weird thing. I was like, because why would you get someone that looks like Megan Fox, mm, when you know your wife is going to be,
yeah,
there, like in stressed in hospital, yeah, at, you know, waiting for a heart transplant. And he was like, oh, the daughter chose her. I was like, fair enough, but and I don't know, after that then it kind of just gets this kind of weird thing of everyone's getting angry at AI for taking the jobs. What I kind of think it was is the creative industry lashing out at AI for replacing
writer,
etc. Yeah. Like, I think it's like, oh, but like we've talent and stuff. And like, but then the movie only continues to show how effective the AI people are, like, because it's like these surgeons do the operation and they don't make a mistake. These builders are building this building way better than other builders were. And it's like, I don't know, like it's kind of making a case for AI jobs to take over, like, even though I think the whole thing was that they shouldn't and it was a fight against the capitalism of people doing it, like, so.
And how's Megan Fox in this? Is she good as a robot?
What's funny is she doesn't exactly have to do like an emotional performance, and I think that kind of suits her in a way, because she just has to kind of most of the time be there and look pretty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then like the odd time, but like she is good on it. Like Megan Fox, I do think is an underrated actor.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's fantastic in Jennifer's Body, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like Transformers, she's famously pretty in that, but like she was solid in it as well. Like she was she has done good performances throughout her career. Like. Maybe not all top tier, all banger performances, but like she did a solid performance for what she needed to be in this, you know?
Okay.
I think the story itself just kind of got a bit muddled.
It was number one on Netflix for a while, perhaps still is, but I don't even know if that's saying a lot, you know?
Yeah.
That people are looking at it because who it is.
Well, I think if Megan Fox wasn't in this, I don't think people would be watching it.
Exactly. And, you know, it's kind of following that same narrative as we said about Megan or M3 Gan as was out a couple of years ago. Obviously, she wants to end up in a relationship with the husband, or they do end up in a relationship. You can kind of see. I watched the trailer, and I can see where that's going. You know.
Yeah, it starts off as that,
mm,
and then becomes this thing of the AI is trying to kill everyone.
Okay.
And that's when I was like, "You've kind of lost me." At least, like, if you wanted to be this thing, at least be loyal to the thing that you wanted to be loyal to. But I feel like it was kind of more, we want to send a message and how dangerous it's going to be. It's like, there's...
Do you want a black pudding it there? Christmas pudding it there?
Christmas pudding, I would...
Go on.
If it's something to be on, like have on, like maybe like a 4 or 5.
Oh, okay.
Wouldn't recommend it as like a Christmas film to watch with the fam.
Okay.
I can't think of a situation currently where you'd be like, oh, do you know what movie we should watch tonight? Subservience.
That classic.
Yeah, oh my God. It's like Casablanca, Shawshank Redemption, Subservience. Yeah, the big three. But Casablanca's actually in it and they start talking about it and it's like such a shoehorned in kind of metaphor. It's like, pick a more recent movie. This guy is getting drunk watching Casablanca and they're using it as an analogy for he's loved.
Where would he even find that? I can't imagine Casablanca being on Netflix or Prime, you know?
I don't know if it is actually. I have Casablanca on DVD, so I can't say anything, well, but that's me.
So you're fouring or fiving it?
Four and a half.
Four and a half. Black puddings, Christmas puddings this week out of 10 for subservience. It is on Netflix as you speak. You're probably being shown it when you open up Netflix because it's doing quite well in the chart.
Yeah.
So if you're that way inclined, you love a bit of AI, love a bit of Megan Fox.
If you're a fan of Megan Fox.
And AI.
Well, no, especially if you're a fan of Megan Fox.
Okay.
You'll probably watch this.
That's what he says. Will we have a look at some Christmas movies that we can look forward to next week?
Yeah.
Because it'll be our last show of the year, obviously. Oh, Brian, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too, Orla.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.